It is championship time in Division I college basketball. Tonight in New Orleans, Kansas and Kentucky play for the men's title, and we'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. First, the women's championship game is now also set. It will be Baylor against Notre Dame. Baylor is trying to complete an historic undefeated season. Last night, the two teams played their semifinal games and advanced, in Notre Dame's case, barely. NPR's Tom Goldman reports from the women's Final Four in Denver.
Familiarity may breed contempt between Big East rivals Notre Dame and Connecticut, but last night it also bred edge-of-your-seat basketball. The team's fourth meeting this season was close throughout. In the second half, the Irish tried to pull away several times, but UConn kept finding ways to close the gap. They did that and more at the end of regulation time. When UConn junior guard Kelly Ferris stepped to the line for two free throws and made them with 11.8 seconds left, it completed an 8-0 UConn run, gave the Huskies a 67-65 lead, and it sure seemed like they were headed to the championship game. But you never want to exhale when Notre Dame point guard Skylar Diggins grabs the ball.
Diggins at midcourt. 8 seconds. Belliner, it rolls away. Rebound, Novosel, she got it to go!
As heard on ESPN, Diggins' miss turned into Natalie Novosel's rebound and putback. Tie score as regulation time ended.
Hayes dumps it down low, no shot!
Despite that finish, UConn seemed to have the momentum going into overtime, although no one apparently told Fighting Irish guard Brittany Mallory.
Here's Mallory, a three! Yes!
Mallory's 2 3-point bombs in overtime were the daggers in Notre Dame's eventual 83-75 win. Mallory missed all four of her 3-point attempts in regulation time, but was the picture of calm as she launched in OT.
Took a deep breath and let it go and was thinking to myself, this one's going in. And finally, they both went in, and I was so happy. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy.
So happy she almost wept, she said later. UConn post player Stephanie Dolson did as the final seconds wound down, prompting her teammate Kalina Mosquita Lewis to shout, "Come on, Stephanie, don't cry." There were no tears in the nightcap. Baylor hammered out a rather methodical and anticlimactic win over Stanford, 59-47. The buzz was that Stanford had the best shot to derail the Lady Bears juggernaut, 38-0 going into the game, shooting for the first ever 40-win season in NCAA history. While the Cardinal post players, sisters Nneka and Shanae Ogwumike, hounded Baylor's super center Brittany Griner into a subpar statistical night, 13 points, 9 rebounds, only 2 blocks, Baylor showed the basketball world what head coach Kim Mulkey has been saying all along and repeated last night.
Brittany Griner is the face of women's basketball right now, and we embrace that. She deserves that, and it's great recognition for Baylor, but our team is not just Brittany Griner.
It's also point guard Odyssey Sims, 11 points last night, senior Taryn Condry, 13 points, forward Destiny Williams, 10 rebounds. So it seems Baylor is a team of destiny. In its way, Notre Dame, which hopes the luck of the Irish is more than a saying tomorrow night. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Denver.
All right, so it'll be Baylor and Notre Dame in the women's championship. On the men's side, tonight's title game pits powerhouse against powerhouse, Kansas against Kentucky at the New Orleans Superdome. The Superdome, of course, usually hosts football, and it is home to NFL's New Orleans Saints. It is a big venue, many times larger than even the largest college basketball arenas. And as NPR's Mike Pesca reports, the surroundings have hurt both teams, particularly their jump shooters.
In the sport of baseball, both Bob Ferguson and Jack Chapman, two 19th century players, had the same nickname, Death to Flying Things. In the sport of basketball, Death to Flying Things is not appropriate to a player, but to an arena. Actually, not an arena, but a dome, specifically on courts situated roughly where the 50-yard line on a football field would be. A few years ago, shooters used to downplay the dome effect, but now few do. I mean, how can you if, like Tyshawn Thomas of Kansas, a decent shooter, you've never made a three-pointer in a dome in your entire career?
It feels good. When I'm shooting in a warm-up, it feels good. I shoot in the game, it feels good. It just doesn't go in. So I don't know. I've heard that I'm not the only one shooting bad in domes. I've heard there's been a couple other guys, but I've been answering a lot of questions about it. But I'm not worried about it.
No, Taylor's not the only one missing shots. He and his Jayhawk teammates were 3 for 11 in three-pointers in their semifinal. Kentucky was 2 for 7. And it's not just threes, it's all long-range jumpers. In both semifinals, teams were misfiring at a Masonic pace. Ask the game's best coaches, who are assembled in the front row of the Superdome, and you get agreement. Former Maryland coach Gary Williams.
Well, I don't think teams in general shoot as well in domes. It'd be nice if you could play in a 12,000-seat gym. It's never going to happen again.
Cincinnati's coach Mick Cronin suggests the problem isn't a dome. The problem is that it's any environment so different from what shooters train on.
The kids, they're not used to playing in front of 70,000 people. They're definitely not used to playing in a dome. Here in New Orleans, you got an elevated court. Everything is different than what the kids are used to. I couldn't imagine it not being a factor.
The phenomenon of the raised floor has been raised by a few experts. Courts on a platform for better spectator visibility just make things different, says Kentucky coach John Calipari.
When they raise that floor, that makes it harder. So a team that doesn't shoot a whole lot of threes has an advantage.
With that, Calipari paused and knowingly smiled. His Wildcats ranked 254th out of 345 schools in three-pointers attempted. But the Wildcats also have shot takers, but not necessarily shot makers, who struggle with the environment. Deron Lamb says,
"We got another game to work at and get better, so I know we're not going to let that affect us or be the reason we lose."
How do you get better at that? I mean, there's not so much time to practice on this kind of court, right?
Right, but we'll just be in here and shooting as much time as we can.
But practice time is tight, and teams can't possibly simulate game situations. In no other sport is the final played in a setting fundamentally unlike one where games have taken place all year. They do call the tournament March Madness. For shooters and fans of silky smooth jumpers, the finals have a touch of April angst. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New Orleans.
Well, whether the shots go in or not, enjoy all the basketball. For now, this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.